Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one will progress to the next stage, where the winner will be unveiled at a two-thirds full stadium in Tulsa. I'm Joel, a man who puts the music into Oklahoma, and across from me is John Harris, a man so dedicated to his film snobbery that he recently cancelled his movie subscription because it hadn't served him up a foreign language film in 3 days. Hello, John.
Hello. I need to cancel my movie subscription because I haven't used it in ages. Good. Thank you for reminding me.
I don't know what Mubi is. This podcast is sponsored by Mubi, a man who doesn't know what it is and a man who needs to cancel his subscription.
Maybe I should actually just use it. Maybe that's the moral of this story. Two thirds full, so we're doing better than Trump, I guess.
It depends if you watch the fake mainstream news or the guys at Fox, mate. I'm a Fox man.
I don't have any more commentary on that weird thing apart from...
No.
Is someone going to have done a film about Donald Trump's drinking a glass of water? Is that part of it? Have you got one of those?
No. Here's some film ideas. Sad Gilmore from Jim. Golf courses were taken away during lockdown and it makes Gilmore sad.
So it's a sequel with Adam Sandler.
Yeah, he's really into golf now. Because he isn't into golf in the film, is he? He's not a golf guy. He's like a hockey player.
And he's just very good at it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
He gets sad. He tries online golf.
It's rubbish.
Golf was back pretty quick, though. I was going to say, would he do mini golf with that? That you can't socially just... You're easier socially distancing normal golf than you are mini golf.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, crazy golf could probably... There's those weird indoor crazy golf places in London. They could probably theme one of those into like a hospital or something, and so everyone's got PPE, and that seems like it would work.
Yeah, or you could just...
Thoughts
do,
on that?
You could just do one that's outside, probably better.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Are you handy at crazy golf?
I would say I am distinctly okay. We've done crazy golf together and I did happen to win, but I think that was luck. It wasn't any skill.
Yeah.
I was quite glad that I won, though, because you are an insufferable winner.
I've sort of put that to the back of my mind. I haven't really thought about that since then. I only really ever remember my victories.
That's very on brand for you, I'd say.
Yeah, I let you win.
What about the golfing ranges? Could you do that socially? I actually think golf was one of the first things they allowed back, wasn't it? Because it's very easy to socially distance.
Yeah.
Is professional golf happening?
Professional golf. What are you trying to say? That me on the crazy course is still amateur. Mm. No, there's no professional golf, I don't think. It's weird the sports they're bringing back, because football's back, right? But cricket. Still no cricket. That seems pretty socially distanced to me.
What about tennis?
Yeah, I mean, there's like a bloody net between them.
Yeah.
They can't get near each other. Just make the net 2 meters wide.
Not doubles, but singles you could do easily.
Yeah. Just put two nets in the middle 2 meters apart.
I think we're going to solve all of the sporting problems by the end of this podcast, Joe.
I'm into it. What do you reckon's the worst sport for social distancing? Squash has got to be pretty bad. Big sweaty cube.
Sumo wrestling?
Sumo's pretty bad. That's a good shout. Yeah, you're right. I think it's probably sumo.
You know how you were talking about those places in London that took like crazy golf or mini golf and like turned it into this like cool...
And made it 20 quid each.
Yeah, turned it into this cool, sexy London thing. Are there any other...
Sumo!
What made that a cool, sexy London thing?
Junkyard sumo. I'm into it. You pay 20 quid, you get down to your pants and you wrestle your friends.
I would be more inclined to do that if they gave you like big fat suits to do it in. Do you know what I mean? Like padding. Maybe not fat suit, but just padding so that you can like really get, you know, bump into each other without fear of injury.
John, come to mine now. I'll sellotape a pillow to you and I'll run at you at speed.
That's junkyard sumo.
That's junkyard sumo, baby. I'd be quite into that. They should junkyard everything.
Junkyard table tennis. What would that be?
Junkyard snooker. They're just like, I don't know, instead of pockets, it's just empty tins of beans.
Yeah, and it's all in the dark and everything's neon lit. That's kind of...
Yeah, and it's really expensive and just too busy to actually enjoy.
What else do you do at the seaside apart from mini golf? The arcade? They could have a junkyard arcade. That would be easy.
I mean, have you been to the British seaside recently, John? It is a junkyard arcade. Fish and chips? Junkyard fish and chips? What about junkyard crabbing?
That's good. I think
that is quite good, isn't it? I'd be quite up for doing that.
Let's do some
I mean, it'd be quite traumatic for the crabs. They're just getting caught all day long, living in like some sort of mad neon fish tank.
With like heavy music playing.
People would definitely be tipping their drinks in there and getting the crabs drunk.
Let's not do that. Right, what about this one from Josh? Being John Harris, a man discovers a portal into John's brain and decides to sell 20 minutes experiences to other podcasters. He then also tweets underneath it, "This is some stupid shit. Why did I tweet this?"
I'm glad. I was about to say the same, so I'm glad he followed up on the tweet. I would say not even John Harris wants to be in John Harris's head, so... Nah. The idea that people would pay to be there. Junkyard brain.
Also, like, what's the experience for the other podcaster? See what it's like to be an unsuccessful podcaster.
Also, what really all they're going to see is my face on a Zoom call.
For the time being, yeah.
That's rubbish. No one wants to see that.
Oh, is it just during records? That won't
be
John Harris.
Okay, I'm going to give some times of the day.
Yep.
And you're going to tell me usually what you're doing at that time of day, and we'll get a little glimpse into what the paying customer might see. 10:25 a.m.
On a weekday, working.
Weekend. Talk to me about weekends.
Weekend. I might be making brunch. I'm quite good. Brunch is probably my best meal, so that's probably, in terms of cuisine, that's the highlight of the day. I'm a brunch boy.
Okay, so that could be an experience worth paying for, if you get to see you knock up a decent meal. 10:25 p.m.
Asleep.
No way.
It depends the day, but since lockdown, I've been going to sleep earlier and earlier.
How early have we got?
There's definitely been
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, but there's definitely been a 9:30 in there somewhere.
Asleep?
Yeah.
Why? Are you 80 years old?
It's just, I don't know. I get up really early, so I go to sleep really early. And then I get up really early, and then I'm like, why am I getting up so early? And then I remember it's because I go to sleep really early.
Because you went to bed at 9 o'clock at night. That's funny. It's quite funny that you have to go to bed just as the watershed's starting, because you're worried about what's on TV.
Oh, dear. Well, Josh, I hate to say I agree with you, but it was a stupid idea.
Hey, what about this one from Mark? Legends of the Fallout Boy. Fallout Boy moved to a ranch in Montana and they all fall in love with the same farmhand. I didn't know about the film Legends of the Fall, but I read a synopsis and some bloke moves his three sons to a ranch and they all fall in love with a girl.
Okay.
So that happens, but it's the guys from excellent band we all love, Fallout Boy.
Yeah. Patrick Stump, Pete Wentz,
There's not somebody in a band called Patrick Stump.
Oh, let me just triple check. I'm scared I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure the lead singer's called Patrick Stump.
Patrick Stump.
Yeah, Fallout Boy front man, Patrick Stump.
Paddy Stump. I just don't want to say to that. Paddy Stump.
So, yeah.
It's just not the name of a man in a band, is it? It's sort of the name of a man that would sell fruit by the side of a motorway.
Who in a band has the least band member-y name? The first that springs to mind, Ian Brown. That's not the most band name-y.
No, true. It's no Patrick Stump, though, is it? Stump.
No.
Stump's the least rock and roll surname. The problem with putting that call out, John, is...
We've already got the answer.
It can't be beaten. There's nobody in a band with a less sexy rock and roll name than Patrick Stump.
So, Fallout Boy, why would... So, they've gone to a farm. Probably that's the kind of thing a band would do to recording an album. They'd, like, lock themselves away for 6 months in the middle of nowhere to record an album.
Kanye famously went to Montana. That's where he did that.
Which
he went to Montana and on a ranch and made the album that no one likes, where the mountain the covers the mountain. It's not it really count. I don't really. It's not really canon. Is that yay? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. All right. So
they go. Fallout Boy go there to make an album. The person working there is a part-time farmhand, part-time sound engineer. They all fall in love with her. Obviously, she fancies Pete Wentz because everyone fancied Pete Wentz, didn't they? No one fancied Patrick Stump. Pete Wentz. Now, that's a name of somebody in an emo band, isn't it?
Yeah. It was weird because Pete Wentz was positioned as the front man, but he was the bassist. It was a really odd moment in music. Right,
yeah,
so...
But come on. Someone at a record label saw... They came in. They said, look, we love your music. We simply cannot have Patrick Stump as the main man.
I can't believe we're going in so hard on Patrick Stump. I didn't realise this was what this episode would be about.
I've had a long-running beef with Stumpy.
So I think what could be fun is I believe Pete Wentz also wrote the songs. So as they're recording...
What's Patrick bringing to the table?
The vocals. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
So... He's handing over these lyrics and Patrick Stump's singing them. And it's only as he's in the booth recording them, he realizes that they're about this girl. That's how the beef starts.
Do you see what I mean? I like it. It's good.
With your red hair and your blue eyes. Those are kind of Fallout Boy lyrics. And he's looking at the sound engineer and he thinks, wait a second, she's got red hair and blue eyes. And then he like names her. He names her and he's like, Elizabeth. And he's like, wait.
Big fight breaks out. I'm into it.
Very good.
And it turns out, actually, that all along she fancied Andy Hurley, the drummer. I knew that off the top of my head.
Who hasn't really featured in the film the whole way through? It's been a real feud between the two. That's beautiful. I like that.
Cool. Right. What about this one from Ben? The Naked Chef Gun. Jamie Oliver is a super spy.
Well, it's also Naked Gun, so it's like slapstick.
I imagine there's like, you know, all of his kitchen gadgets also double up as super spy gadgets. So it's corkscrew that also, I don't know, can crack any lock.
Yeah, a corkscrew that cracks
any
lock.
Seems feasible. Some sort of masher that you can also mash someone's brain in with.
So far, these are things that you could
a
just...
A knife that doubles up as a knife.
Yeah. So far, you've turned all these kitchen gizmos into the same thing again.
Yeah, well, you've just admitted to being the handyman brunch guy. I'm kind of leaning on you here.
Yeah, I didn't realize my breakfast gadgets would have to come into handy right now. What could he cook to save the world? Why would cooking something save the world? He's got like a... Is there some sort of bomb that he needs to keep at a certain temperature or it'll blow? In a sous vide.
That's good. That's good.
I think Jamie Oliver could pull it off.
Cracking
the puns. At the beginning of lockdown.
Yeah, I think so.
At the beginning of lockdown, Jamie Oliver was one of my favourite things to watch when he was doing this show called Keep Calm and Carry On Cooking, where like the first couple of weeks of programming he had done just before lockdown with a crew and it looked like a normal Jamie Oliver TV show. And then for some reason, as of like week three, they just panicked and they were like, well, we still want to keep releasing it. So it was like he was basically doing them in his like larder on his mobile phone and the sound was echoing around the room. And he was like, the kind of portions of food he was describing was like, oh yeah, you could do this with a quarter of a carrot or any. And I get like, he was obviously trying to be like, you know, if you're hard up on food, like I totally respect that. But the idea that someone is just left with a quarter of a carrot was just so mad to me.
And they're like desperately trying to figure out what to do with it instead of just eat that bit of carrot. I've got this. I had that recipe last night that weirdly required 3/4 of a carrot. If only there was a recipe out there that required a quarter of a carrot. What recipe would you ever use 3/4 of a carrot? It makes no sense. Or are you going to make that Jamie Oliver one 4 times?
Honestly.
So stupid. I've never seen a recipe in my life that required anything other than whole measures of carrots. It would just say, take this carrot to be your lawful wedded carrot.
And if it's like an amount of potato, I'm sorry, I'm just going to round up. Like if it was like 1/2 kilo of potatoes and like after 3 potatoes, I was slightly over 500 grams. I'm not going to be like, well, there's 1/4 of a potato I have to save for another dish.
Don't worry, Jamie will have a little quarter recipe for you. Making like meals for fucking dolls' houses.
On the food flex, what about this one from Stu? The film The Artist, but it's a sandwich artist. Honestly, the film follows the same plot, but, you know, it would be tremendously confusing following the artist plot with a sandwich artist, which is what they call Subway people. They're sandwich artists.
They're sandwich artists. I was just imagining it's just going to be like a black and white, lovely musical story about opening a new franchise of Subway.
Yeah. Tap dancing on the counters.
Maybe somebody gets discovered because the flair in which they put their sandwiches together. And they become like a big TikTok star. You can imagine that happening, right?
Of course. Somebody with Salt Bae.
So exactly. I'm thinking like the people that make the cocktails in TGI Fridays. They're flicking those things all around their heads. Why have I never seen that in Subway?
Have they behind the bars of a TGI Fridays?
They're like frisbeeing. They're like frisbeeing. Yeah.
Sorry, you're talking about making beautiful sandwiches. So frisbeeing a slice of ham.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah. How can you add some pizzazz to cheese and toasted?
Oh, that is quite tricky. And that is a quintessential part, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You've got cheese and toast.
Of the process. Oh, I haven't had a Subway in so long.
I think you could like... It's more about the fact that he's like a one-man conveyor belt. So every time that cheese and toasted bings, he's making another sandwich at the time, opens it, bosh, straight in that customer's mouth.
He does that thing where he like unhooks the oven with his foot, and the base of his foot is so flat that he can take it out of the oven and spin it around with his foot while his hands are still preparing the other sandwich.
Amazing.
I imagine.
Perfect. Alternatively, if we do go down like the vaguely the plot of The Artist. So The Artist is about a silent...
A little dog. I've not seen The Artist.
So it's
Isn't there a little Oscar-winning dog?
Yeah. I think his name's Uffy or Uggy or something like that. It begins with a U. And he's sadly passed away now. But anyway, so it's about someone who the technology improvement in film means that, you know, they're the talkies now. And he was a star of the silent movie era. And so it's about
him. Who, the dog?
Well, both the dog and the human.
The dog's got a weird bark, so it really was successful in silent cinema. Just really worried about having to bark in the talkies. In the barkies. A lot of people don't think about how animals transition from silent film to talkies.
What they realised was...
They actually called them walkies.
That's good.
Thanks, man.
The bark just sounded like a horrible hate crime. Like,
and so like what, John? John, repeat some of your favourite hate crimes.
Nope. So the dog was cancelled in the 1920s, basically.
Not an easy time to get cancelled. That dog was up to some pretty disgraceful stuff.
But I was thinking the whole like idea of technology and the discomfort in like, you know, being a star in an old technology and trying to come up with a new one. So has Subway come up with some sort of robotic sandwich maker that is competing?
Yes. And it's this one employee left at Subway with a load of robot employees, and it's about whether they can make sandwiches at a quicker speed.
Perfect. We've done it. Cracked it.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What about this one from Beck? This is a real beauty. Pig trouble in Little Diner. It's a double pun.
That's great.
You rarely see a double pun.
You rarely see a double pun. I'll be honest, quite often they're not really even single puns, these film ideas. Pig trouble in Little Diner. Right, have they run out of ham? Or is there too much ham because it's such a small diner? And so they're trying to sneak ham into every dish. They've over-ordered on ham. And now ham's on the menu. Like, it's like ham shakes.
I like that a lot.
Everything's got ham in.
Yeah, I do like that a lot. And every dish, they're using slices of ham as coasters for the coffee.
Every dish comes with a side of ham. A big side of gammon comes out.
Because I was thinking the alternative is that there's literal pigs are running around the diner, like a bull in a china shop.
That's good, but I think it'd be quite harrowing because the diner would quickly realise that it could just kill the pigs and eat the pigs and cook the pigs and, you know. I don't know about that. It's like when you go into a restaurant and you pick a lobster, except there's just little pigs running around and you sort of go, that one. You kick it into the kitchen and they just chuck it in a pot.
That is, I mean, obviously...
Is that nice, John? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, but you've put the whole picking a lobster in a different light, haven't you?
Well, it's really sad, isn't it? I thought people thought it was sad.
Yeah, I guess.
The lobster, and then the lobster screams.
What?
When you put a lobster in a pot, it screams, doesn't it? But I think it's air escaping or something, but it sounds like a scream.
Oh, well, this has got harrowing. I thought, have there been any fun pig news? I thought, this is going to be a light episode, so let's check if there's been any pig news.
Oh, yeah? Anything? Bong!
I just found this from 12 hours ago from the Times. Porky Brits, now fatter than pigs.
Yes! We did it. We've been coming for those pigs for too long, baby. Those pigs have been sitting pretty in that number one spot. Now what have they got? Nothing. We're pigs. Probably smarter than them.
Just looking at each other being you. Oh, you look like a right human. Disgusting.
We Brits are fatter than pigs. Now, here's a question. Have pigs got thinner? I've not read this article. It might not be slamming the Brits. It might be praising pigs. Pigs have been working out.
I haven't been to the countryside because I've been locked in London this whole time, but we go...
Pigs just lifting weights.
Eating celery and, yeah, lifting weights. They're just swole.
They probably do eat celery, don't they?
I mean, they eat anything. Isn't that the thing?
Oh, yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, dear.
I know what it is. So, because everyone's been in lockdown, gangsters haven't been able to feed their victims to pigs. And so pigs have starved and they've got really skinny. And now Brits have overtaken them. We're fatter than pigs.
And that is the answer.
But soon the gangsters will be back. They'll be chucking pigs out. Don't worry, pigs. Hang on for a few more weeks. I think July 4th. July 4th, as I remember, is there's some pubs opening, hairdressers, and also gangsters are allowed to feed their victims to pigs again.
I think we've previously done a film about how lockdown has been affecting gangsters. So I'm glad it's come back. It's a big concern of ours.
I worry about them. I do worry about the gangsters and what they're up to because they're such law-abiding guys that they won't have, you know, gone against lockdown. Hey, John, is it time for our ideas?
I think it is, mate.
Here's one from me. Twister, a giant ice lolly wreaks havoc over Oklahoma.
Okay, cool. Right, so...
Move on.
No, wait, maybe. Is it a delivery? Have they delivered it to the wrong place and it's just melting over the city?
Yeah, and everyone's getting, you know, like when Pompeii happened, I don't think it's too soon to joke about this, and the lava kind of froze everyone in place. That's happening, but with ice cream.
And they're just really sticky.
They're just stuck, yeah. That's quite good. There's a giant Guinness World Record. It's all coming to light. There's a giant world record-breaking twister that's been made. It's like 200 foot tall.
Yeah.
And they're planning to deliver it to Alaska. Because it's nice and cold there, they can store it, they can display it in Alaska. But it falls out the back of the plane and it lands in notoriously, I don't know, warm Oklahoma, where it's either typically warm or unseasonably warm.
Yeah.
And it just starts melting and just covering the entire state in ice cream. I don't know what you'd do to solve that, but I'd come and help lick some up.
Oh, yeah.
Twister.
That's what it is. They send the pigs in, the skinny pigs, to eat up.
Yes! Yes! The skinny pigs turn up. That's great. That's great.
Well, I don't think we're going to go as far with mine. Mine's Artemis Fowl, but he's a bird.
He's a referee.
That's good. I read Artemis Fowl as a kid, but I couldn't tell you for the life of me now what happens in them.
I don't know. I've got no idea what it's about.
So he's like a super genius kid criminal in a world where there are like fairies and goblins and stuff.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah, I think the books are good. And Disney Plus released the film that was supposed to come out in cinemas, but obviously they put it on Disney Plus because of everything that's happening. And it has been absolutely slated, the film.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's like 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oof.
Yeah, so not worth your time. But yeah, that film that I'm not going to watch because it's terrible, but the main character's a bird. If you've seen the film, let me know if that would improve it.
John, it's 10% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, sorry.
And it's your friend of mine, Kenneth Branbran.
Mm.
We like Branbran.
Yeah, there was...
Oh, it all makes sense now because Kenneth Branagh was on Kermode and Mayo as a guest. And then Kermode reviewed Artemis Fowl afterwards. And he was sort of nice about it. And I thought it was weird because of it having had bad reviews everywhere else. But he just didn't want to upset the Bran man. No. Oh, Bran Flakes.
You don't want to upset Bran Flakes.
No way. Oh, I feel bad for Bran Flakes.
Every film is made by a person who wants to make a good film, Joel. If you take anything away from this episode, that is what you should.
That's a lovely note to end on, John. Thanks so much for your ideas. Everyone, please keep sending them in. Tweet us, Dream Factory Podcast, or just somehow find another alternative way to get them to us.
If they get to us, we'll read them out.
We'll read them out, whatever they are. It's been a pleasure. There'll be more pleasure after this. Hey, John.
Hello. Have you got anything to update me on? Anything that's happened in your world?
Yeah, so I have. John, you and I are both notoriously a pair of scaredy boys.
Mm.
We're quite scared by horror films.
Yes. Oh, yeah, you sent me a text, actually.
And on Friday night, my girlfriend, and I feel like she's sort of been planning this for quite a while, and it recently came onto Netflix, and I've managed to successfully avoid its runs on Prime and Now TV and elsewhere. But the film Hereditary has recently arrived to Netflix.
Yeah.
And we watched that, and I hated it so much. It's the worst sort of 2 hours and 7 minutes of my life.
Could you look at it objectively and think, yeah, this is a well-made or interesting film?
It's too scary for that.
Fair enough.
I love Toni Collette. She's the best. She was scaring me. I don't need that from you, Tony. It's not what I'm here for.
The heebie-jeebies. I've seen that.
It's really, really scary. It's properly, properly, properly scary.
I might be wrong, but I think there's like one of those facts about it. There's a bit where a kid like breaks his face on a classroom desk at one point, and the kid was like, "Oh, I'm willing to break my nose to make it as realistic as possible." But they then gave him like a foam-covered desk so that he could do it and not. But then he still did it so hard it apparently broke his nose anyway.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's a broadly fine bit of the film by comparison to the rest of it. But yeah, it's scary. If anyone out there has seen it, who are these people that can just watch horror films? And they're psychopaths, right?
Mm. I need to watch more and see whether I'm a psychopath too. Maybe I think I'm more scared about the idea of a lot of these. Like so a lot of them, you're like, oh, the concept of this is scarier than the execution. But I know that Ari Aster is like famous for like how dread-inducing his films are.
Ari Aster's become my nemesis now. How about you, John? What's been going on?
Have you been watching I May Destroy You? The
It's really
show?
Good, isn't
it's
it?
It's really great. I'm enjoying that. I am enjoying it. It's really good. It's really well made. She's brilliant. But I haven't really been watching a lot else. But on Tuesday, the N64 Star Wars Episode 1 Podracer game comes out, which is that's all I'm looking forward to in my life right now.
Oh, I'm excited for that. We watched Normal People.
Oh yeah?
I thought it was a bit shit.
Okay. I live with a person who's one of the few Normal People deniers as well, to be fair. There are literally dozens of you.
Everyone loves it so much. It didn't make any sense. None of it makes any sense. No decision that anyone takes in the entire 12-episode run of that show makes any sense. They never behave in the way that normal human beings would behave.
So does your housemate and life partner not agree with you?
No, she agrees with me. I'm just worried about people outside the flat, you know, the windows open. I know how, like, people really adore that show.
Yeah.
And I kind of, I watched all of it, so I was along for the ride, but I just found it really frustrating.
That main guy's like overnight become the hottest man on planet Earth.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, he sure is. I mean, there's an Instagram page dedicated to his chain that he wears in that program. He's got like 50,000 followers.
Oh my God, that's amazing. He like lives in East London somewhere. I think people keep spotting him around.
That's why I whispered it. Because I'm worried he might be my neighbour.
Oh dear.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.